We are glad and honored to have Niels here. Niels is the pastor at the Shofar Wellington. For those of you who don't know him, he must stand on top here. It's not to be funny. It's only because we get feedback from those speakers if he walks around down here. So that's why he's standing up here. But we want to honor Niels. We want to welcome him. Niels has got a real pastor's heart. So it's a blessing for us to have you, Niels. And we welcome you and we want to receive from you. So let's give Niels a nice round of applause.
Thank you very much, Gilly. Those who don't know me, this is the house where I grew up. I was very privileged to grow up under Rick and Alida's leading. And I remember when we started the evening services, that was a humbling time for me because we started up there in the mother's room, and the times we spent doing setup, Donnie, and nobody came. There was just no one. So I drank the coffee, ate the biscuits, did sit down, and went home. But it's awesome to see that the Lord has truly added, and it's a privilege to be here. Thank you, Gilly. I've been praying in tongues the whole afternoon just to get my tongue loose in English, so if I miss a E's or O or M or something, just forgive me, please. So, isn't it just amazing that Jesus knows the deepest, darkest place of our hearts and our thought life, which sometimes freaks us out, and He still loves us? Huh? Isn't that amazing? That's truly amazing. And, you know, I'm going to share tonight to you something that the Lord's placed on my heart. I truly believe it's for us going forward, for you going forward. You know, there's seasons in our lives that we go through, there's seasons that the church goes through. But for us, let's lay down our lives for Christ. We're all in the same season, maybe different stages of growth, but in the same season of glorifying Christ and seeing His kingdom come. And that's only going to be by the grace of God that we're going to get that. I truly feel we need to contend for the word tonight. Derek Prince always says that being filled with the Spirit and leading a spirit-filled life is very relative. Because a cup can be filled, a bath can be filled, a dam can be filled. So being filled, how much are you filled? Are you a cup or a dam? See, how much? And I truly believe tonight the Lord is saying that with what are you coming to Him? Because if you're coming with a cup, He's going to fill your cup. If you come with a bath, He's going to fill that. So how much do you want? How much do you want? So there's this parable that Jesus tells, but the parable of the sower. Remember that one? Right? Jesus says that's the most important parable of all. If we don't get that parable, the rest will be Greek to us. We won't get it. Right? And you remember it's about sowing seeds, falling on ground, right? The seed being the word of God. What is the ground? The ground being the condition of our hearts, right? You know, one is rocky, one is shallow, one is overgrown with thorns, which is just the cares of this world that choke the word of God in our lives. And the other one is good soil. It's good soil. So the thing is, and the thing that Jesus comes at is there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. That's perfect. What is the problem is our hearts, the condition of that heart. If you, tonight, what you're going to hear, if I'm not bringing a pastor's message, so I'm going to give it to you straight. If you contend for the word tonight, if you receive it onto soil, onto good soil, what does the word say will happen? There will be a harvest. How many times? 60 times, even 100 times of what you're going to receive tonight. Now, you can take that harvest for yourself, or it can be something that makes a change in Paul. That's your choice. So, with what do you come tonight? With what do you come? What's the condition of your heart? Are you stressed about your finances? Are you stressed? I'm glad you're not stressed anymore about that. You know, what's the condition of our hearts? For us to be free now, we need to be free from the shame from the past, and we need to be free of the fear of tomorrow. And tomorrow hasn't come, and the past is gone. This is reality now. This is the only time that really is real. It's right now. So I'm going to pray for us that the Lord will open up our eyes and open up our ears and open up our hearts to understand, okay? Through our eyes, through our ears is the way the word comes into our lives. And if our hearts does not receive that, if that doesn't fall on good soil, then we are all here. There's not much going to change tonight in your life. So what do you come with? And what is the condition of your heart tonight? Okay. That's going to determine what's going to happen tonight. Okay. Because it's like the Lord says, if you're going to drink of this water, if you're going to drink of this water, you would not thirst again. And for us, that's just coming. That's just coming. That's just being who you are, being real with the place where you are, and just coming. Okay. Father, we say thank you that we can be here tonight. Thank you that your word is true. Oh, Jesus, and thank you for your cross. Thank you that you died, that you were buried, and that you rose again, Lord. That you are seated at the right hand of God, Lord. You are glorious, Father. You are glorious, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you say in your word that you will not leave us orphans, but you will come to us, and that you came to us through the power of your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, thank you that I just have this feeling that you want to release a grace tonight, Lord, a measure of grace, Father God, that is not even for us, but for your glory. And we want to say, Lord, we want to open up our hearts to receive that. We want to contend for the word tonight. So we take every thought captive tonight that exalts itself against Christ, and we bring you to the obedience of his cross in Jesus' name. Lord, and I just pray a blessing tonight, a blessing over every person here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so to whom am I preaching tonight? I'm preaching to the proud. If you think that excludes you, please don't go. Maybe you receive a revelation tonight. Okay, Hebrews 12:15, you can turn to there. I'm just in a time of my life where the Lord is humbling me. Donnie, you're already humble after your pass, but the Lord is really humbling me at this stage, and really talking to me about this living water that's coming from our inside, that's going to come from your inside. Just the way it's going to come. What is the obstacles to this grace that's going to flow? And that's what I want to address tonight. So Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." So being a pastor for Gilly, for Rick, for myself, it's important for our congregations to remain in the grace of God. It's by grace that you've been saved. Outside of the grace of God, whatever we do, wherever we are, they call it dead works. It doesn't mean much. The Lord still loves us, but what we do doesn't mean much if we do it outside of the grace of God. And the thing that the Lord is just showing me is this obstacles. There's an obstacle to grace. And out of that obstacle comes that root of bitterness that many times comes from offense. And that root of bitterness will defile you, and it will defile the people in your life. It will defile your family. What is that obstacle? That obstacle is pride. That obstacle is pride. As time went by, I just started to just look around me and look in the way our society looks, and I'm telling you, pride is just full up everywhere. It's just full up everywhere. You can't get away from it. And I'm talking about myself. Yes, I was proud. The Lord told me the other day, yes, you're so religious, you know. Just get over this thing. And it's not nice when the Lord tells you these things, but it's like a father, no? The father chastens his son. Son, so praise God. I praise him for what he's doing. But I truly feel that this is a word for Paul tonight. Pride. God resists the proud. What does the humble get? Grace. And that's what I'm after. So maybe you think you're not proud. I thought it would be fun if we do a pride test. And you can see if you are proud or not proud. This is Mark Driscoll's pride test. So if this is you, you get 1 point. If it's not you, zero. Okay. You can evaluate yourself on this. First question, do you long to be the center of attention all the time? Mark Driscoll says that people learn the art of looking pathetic. They're just always like, you know, just always moaning, always negative. And when you come to them and you ask, is something wrong? They're like, yes, how do you know something is wrong? And you're like, man, yeah, it's just all over your face. Or you're in a conversation and not all the attention is on you, and you will spring in, you will cut in while somebody else is speaking so that all the attention will come to you. Do you long for a lot of attention? Number two, do you become jealous or critical at other people who succeed? I'm not going to ask for hands, but do you read on Facebook, Twitter? How many positive remarks comes from Facebook or Twitter? It's just all negative. It's just all negative. I'm just looking at Heineken Meyer this past week and a half. Yes, the amount of flack that oak took. Everybody just knows better. What's that? That's pride. That's pride. You just think you know better. So when somebody else achieves, you just have nothing good to say to that person or about what that person achieved. You just think, but yeah, that should have been me. Or why didn't I think of that? Or yes, but I see what he did, but I would have done it this way. That's me. Do you always have to win? Number three. You just can't lose. You cheat at board games so that you would win. You just can't lose. If that is you, it's pride. Question number four. Do you have a pattern of lying? Do you have a pattern of lying? So guilty. Why is pride behind lying? If I tell you something, if I tell you the truth, you're going to see me in a bad light. And I do not want to be seen in a bad light. So I will lie so that you would see me in a good light, in a favorable light. So that you will think that I'm somebody that I'm truly not. That's pride. Right there. Pride under lying. Question number five. Do you have a hard time to confess that you were wrong? I can hear that some people are guilty of this. Ilana is smiling very big, so you know, you just can't say you're wrong. When a brother comes to you and he says to you, listen, I see the sin in your life, you freak out on him for showing you the sin, making him the fark in the fall. Instead of you just admitting you are wrong. You just can't admit you're wrong. Huh? And then we justify stuff. We've got these excuse boxes. On some other weird level, we get it right to justify whatever we want to do. When somebody is rude during the day, I'm sorry, I didn't have my cup of coffee today. It's like, really? That's an excuse. That's not an apology. Huh? We've got excuses for everything. Oh, no one is perfect. Have you ever heard that one? Sorry, no one is perfect. It's an excuse. It's not an apology. It's like saying, I'm sorry, I'm a human being. It just means nothing. Question number six. Do you have a lot of conflict with other people? You know, it just seems that wherever you are, there's conflict with other people. Now, between the proud and the proud, you see a lot of conflict. The proud and the proud, they go at each other, okay? Sometimes there's conflict between the proud and the humble, okay? Like Jesus. Jesus was humble, and he stood up to the Pharisees. But it's not like you see a lot of conflict between the humble and the humble, do you? No? You know, it's not like you say those humble people are killing each other. Those humble people are fighting all the time. It just doesn't work like that. So if you're around people and there's always conflict where you are, Most probably you're the proud one. Okay. Here comes the conviction. Do you cut in line at the store, movies, traffic, the airport? Well, do you? You're driving on the N1. There's this whole queue to get off the off-ramp. You drive past everybody and you squeeze in front. What you're saying is you're just more important than everybody else that you just passed. Your life, your appointments, what you have to get to is more important than all of them. That's pride manifesting itself because you think you are better than other people. The airport, in the airplane, what happens when you've landed and that bell goes ding? Everybody jumps out, get this stuff and stand there waiting. And it's like everybody's trying to cut in and just get off the plane, and man, you're gonna like win 10 seconds. Just wait your turn and get off. It's pride. Here's another one for you guys. Who of you does not stop at a stop street or drive above the speed limit? Okay, there's a lot of people looking to the ground. So, is the place where you're going more important than everybody else in the world? Are you above the law? The fact that you are late is not the law's problem or anybody else's problem. It's your problem because you are late. Is that an excuse to go above the speeding limit? Not to stop at stop streets? No, it's not. That's pride. You think you are better than everybody else. You think you are above the law. Do you still like me so far? Is that all right? Can we go? Do you get upset if other people do not honor your achievements? They didn't even say thank you. I did all this and they didn't even say thank you. Nobody saw that I did this or that or that or that. It's Jesus that's going to say to us in the end of our lives, well done, good and faithful servant. And that day has not yet come. We just, in our fallenness, we have this tendency to want attention, to want affirmation from people. And we're taking it away from what God is wanting to give us. He wants to affirm you. So we can take it from people, but it's like that scripture that says you've had your reward then. It's like we're stealing from ourselves. You know, nobody ever acknowledges your achievements, that kind of stuff. Do you get upset if other people do not honor your achievements? Number 9, do you tend more to an attitude of entitlement or thankfulness? Are you always this one that says that I deserve that? That one got it, but I deserved it. It was really me. Or are you thankful and say that, yes, Lord, I deserved hell. I deserved hell, and you came and you saved me and you gave me life. Do you have a sense of entitlement or thankfulness, you know? Because proud people just think they deserve. They deserve. I did this, so I deserve this, man. I deserve the promotion. Who promotes? God promotes. So you be faithful. You rest. You be faithful in what you're doing. God will promote you. Last question. Do you honestly feel that you are a good person and superior to others? Like Mark Driscoll says, this is not something that you will post on your Facebook page if in the place where they say, tell us something about yourself. You're not going to say, well, I'm just basically better than everybody else. But it is something that is, it's something that's in our hearts. It comes back to we compare ourselves all the time to other people. Do you know why? So that we can feel better about ourselves. At least I'm not like that guy. So I'm at least higher than him, you know? Or if we eat, you know, there's a lot of people that at least we've got a roof over our head. At least we've got food. But that doesn't help anything. Be thankful and make some more food and go and give it away to somebody that does not have food. Then we're thankful and we're part of the solution. So another one can maybe be if we're late for everything. You think your time is more important than everybody else's time. Always late for something. Do not respect that. It's pride. Would you agree that pride is like everywhere? Okay, who scored one? Lizelle, don't put up the score yet. That would be much too low. So the scoring, as they put it out, is if you scored anything between 0 to 10, you're proud. If you scored 0, you are very proud. Okay. So, so is there some guys that got revelation right now? So I'm talking to all of us tonight. Pride. Pride. I'm going to wait for you at these stop streets. I'm going to see if you stop tonight. If you honor that. Why is pride this amazing, just this evil thing? God hates it, man. It's what got Satan thrown out of heaven. And in our fallenness, it's just so part of who we are. We just like to exalt ourselves. We just like all the attention. We just like to know that we are something and that we are going somewhere and that we achieve stuff. And the problem that Jesus has with this is, Jesus has two enemies. One is sin. What is the other one? Sin is obvious. It's obvious to see if somebody sins, right? The other enemy of Jesus is religion. It's being just religious, okay? A religious person thinks that they are better than other people. They think there's big and small sins. They keep book of the wrong. You know, I remember what you did to me and that kind of thing. They think if they do good deeds, then they and God, their relationship is okay. That is Jesus' other enemy. Huh? Can you remember how he acted against the Pharisees? Why was that so? Because the Pharisees just thought they were better than all the other people. And rooted in the bottom of being religious is pride, exalting itself against Christ. It is Paul's and it's Wellington's stumbling block to grace. And it's a stumbling block for the world in our lives being open. Pride. We think too much of ourselves. We should know our place, that our place is on our faces before the throne, knowing that our place is not seated where Christ is seated, but it's down here. Paul, in his life, he was a sinner before he got saved, but his biggest problem, he was religious. That was Paul's biggest problem. He even said it himself. He said he's a Pharisee for the Pharisees, huh? The strict of the strict. He did everything right to the book. He was religious and proud. And what did Jesus do? He humbled him. Paul needed a club from his horse down to the ground. What changed him? What changed Paul? Jesus. Jesus changed him. His grace changed him. When Paul got the revelation that, listen here, I am a sinner. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing a good thing, but all my good works are filthy rags before Jesus. They're just filthy. I can try as hard as I want. I can do as much as I can. But if it's out of my own strength and out of my own ability, it would be filthy rags before Jesus. And Jesus took him from his horse. He humbled him. He took him to the ground. And Paul's life changed because he met Christ. It seems to me that in our towns, Paul, Wellington, it seems that people are so focused and so aware of their own inability than of Jesus' ability. They're so aware of their own sin than aware of Jesus' saving grace and his righteousness. We just have this focus that's on the wrong place at the moment, and I truly feel that the Lord is saying we should focus on him, get our attention on him, away from what you think you can do or not do. It doesn't matter. Whatever what your dreams are, what is the first thing we think about when God calls us to something? Oh, my word. No, Lord, you must have it wrong. You must have it wrong. I remember when the Lord called me to ministry. I was a fish farmer. Sitting in my, I was working from home that day, sitting on my laptop, We were praying for the church in Wellington and stuff, and I stood up and the Lord spoke to me. I was actually at the moment praying for the guy that I thought would lead the church, and the Lord said to me, "But what if you lead the church?" And I got this massive fright. Me, I'm a fish farmer, Lord. I don't do books. I'm not good with that thing. The internet and all this just doesn't work for me. What do you do with it? But it calls us to this place of humble obedience. Do you know why God will call you to do something that you don't think you're able to do? That is truly the reason right there. Because you're not able, but He's able. To protect the church, to protect you, He will use you to do what you think you cannot do so that you cannot brag. Like Paul said, hey, he's got nothing to brag about for himself. He only brags in the cross of Christ. That's all he has to boast in. And this thing of pride is dangerous for us. It's dangerous for all of us. Luke 14:11 says the consequences. It says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Do you know who will humble you? God will humble you if you are His child. He will humble you. And from that place of humility will rise you up. So how do you grow in humility? That's a good question. Huh? How do you grow in humility? The way you grow in humility is not to focus on humility. Okay, if you just got a revelation that you're proud by saying like, "Oh, I'm so proud," and now you I must become humble, and you focus on you being humble, you're still focusing on yourself. You grow in humility by focusing on somebody else. C.S. Lewis said that humility is not thinking it's not thinking less of yourself, but it is thinking of yourself less. Okay. I remember we did in small group once, we decided, okay, for the next week, you're not allowed to pray for yourself. We all put our names in a hat, and we sent it around, and everybody got somebody else's name. But I wasn't allowed to pray for myself. I was just allowed to pray for this friend of mine whose name I received. And yes, it was difficult. Try that a week. Yes, after the third, I'm like, "Lord, I need to pray for myself." But the thing is, somebody else got my name, and he was praying for me. So I was all right. But I truly feel the Lord is wanting us to get away from ourselves. The focus away from ourselves. The focus on Him. Because the only way you're going to get where you want to be, the only way the living water is going to flow from you, out of you, is if you get your focus from yourself. If you get it off yourself, if you start focusing on somebody else, and that someone else is Jesus Christ. If you start focusing on Jesus and you ask His Holy Spirit to come into your life, to change your heart, to change your mind, to change your motives, to change you more like Him, the fruit of your life will be one of humility. That will be the fruit of your life as you focus on Christ and not on yourself. Isn't it a freeing thought to think that it's not about what you can do or not do? It's not about your sin in the past. It's not about the family that you come from, but it's about what Jesus did on the cross. It's about the fact that He stood up from death, that He's alive right now, that His Spirit is alive, that it's here. It was tangible. It is tangible right now. And that is amazing. That is freeing. That is motivating. Will you agree? If you've got a set of rules, that's not maybe motivating to serve God. But if it's by His grace, man, that motivates me. I just want to go. And let me tell you, the only way that this town is going to change is by you. Don't you think that you can just sit here and receive and go back home and sleep and say, "Thank you, Lord, but tomorrow I'm going to go on with my life." It doesn't work like that. What you receive tonight, you receive so that you can give it away tomorrow. I dare you, go out this week and try and outgive God. Try and give more than He gives you. And you'll be surprised at how much He gives you. Right? The Dead Sea is dead. Why? Because there's no outflow. It's only an inflow. So that's the same for Christians. That's how Christians, being saved by grace, fall back into religion. It's because there's nothing that goes out. And that is the problem of our towns, is being religious. And God wants to change that. He wants to make us free in His grace. He wants to make you free in His grace. Right? The hope is for you in Jesus Christ. For you in Jesus Christ. The humble are those who believe and obey God's will over what they feel, think, or even desire. You will be humble if you believe and obey God's will over what you feel, what you think, or what you even desire. Jesus was humble, was he not? Jesus was humble. Why was he humble? He was humble by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said he only does what he sees the Father do. And it's amazing to see that the humility that he walked around with offended so many people. Why? Because he loved the truth over what he thought people would think of him. And I'm telling you, the days that we're going to go into, this is going to be our test. What do you love more? Your own image or the truth? And the season that we are in growing as a family is how to speak the truth in love. And that's tricky. That's tricky. How to speak this truth in love. Philippians speaks about Christ's humility, and I would like to read it with you. Lizelle, I think it's on the board. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, okay, that Jesus loves us, and in participation in the Spirit, that He sent His Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This mind that he's talking about is that we all focus on Christ, and that we say that we're going after him. We will do what he says we must do. That is what we love. That's the same mind that we are with Christ. That we look out for each other. That we love each other. And verses 5. Having this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's amazing. It's amazing that the God that created us came into our world to be killed by his own creation so that we can be saved. I can totally understand that the cross doesn't make sense for atheists that's trying to figure it out. But it is this good news. So what do I have to say to you tonight? Stop trying to change yourself. Stop trying to puff yourself up and think that you're all that. Christ is all that. And he's all that you need. He's always going to be that. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit that changes us. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into your life. And if you open up, he will come. He will change your heart. He will change your mind. He will change your motives. Why you do things. He will even touch your emotions. Isn't it amazing that joy and peace, they're emotions. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's joy. It's peace. Right? Whose is it? Is it yours? Did you get that by works? No, you got it from the hearing of faith, by the Holy Spirit doing something in you. Living a Spirit-filled life is living a life where God calls us to be who we cannot be, to do what we cannot do through a power that we do not possess. That is living a spirit-filled Christian life. It's by the grace of God. Paul even comes and he says that we've got this treasure in 2 Corinthians. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. Do you remember that? Praise God, he placed it in jars of clay. So a jar of clay is fallible. It's breakable. So you can focus on your, and that represents you. So you can focus on your own inability, breakability, and that all that. But I'm telling you, it's like for that treasure to come out, that pot must break. We need to be humbled. That treasure will shine through at your weakest point. It will give you strength at the time that you feel weak, so that you cannot boast in your own strength, but only in the cross of Christ. We need to be broken. That pot needs to be broken so that that living water will come out. But it's not of ourselves. We can only point it to Jesus Christ. It is by His grace that we will grow in this season. It's by His grace that you will change and become more like Jesus. I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ. Like I say, I've been humbled this past 2 weeks. And it's difficult. It's difficult when you're in that situation and you are being humbled. It's difficult to rejoice in it. But I have more peace now than ever before. And I have more joy now than ever before. My little chokurki is getting 3 teeth in the front all together. It's just, so we're not sleeping much. But the grace of God is enough. It's enough for you. It's enough for tomorrow. It's going to be enough for the day after that. I feel that we need to repent tonight of pride. I truly feel we need to repent of pride tonight. And I feel that the Lord is going to give you a measure of grace, the measure that you want to receive, the measure that you need right now, in this time of your life, in the season of your life, to do what the Lord has called you to do and to be who the Lord has called you to be. But it will come through the grace of God. It will come through the power of the Holy Spirit and not through something that you can achieve on your own strength. And if we humble ourselves, what will Jesus do? He will give grace and more grace. And that will unlock something inside of you that will overflow. That will unlock the well inside of you to flow even more. When we start getting ourselves out of the way. Is that okay? Is that good? Okay.